Ohad Naharin, the artistic director of the Batsheva Dance Company, has been acclaimed as one of the world's preeminent contemporary choreographers, and with good reason. His groundbreaking works and new movement language called Gaga have pushed the dance world to new heights. If you're not familiar with his work, you'll have an opportunity to see it when his company performs the New York premiere of his most recent piece, Last Work, at the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Peter J. Sharp building beginning a week from today on February 1st. They'll be there through the 4th. And also next Wednesday, Tomer Heyman's documentary about Mr. Naharin called Mr. Gaga opens at the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Center at Lincoln Center and Film Forum. I'm very pleased it has brought Ohad Naharin to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
What is Gaga? It has nothing to do with Lady Gaga.
We were here before.
You were calling it Gaga before she even came on the scene.
Yeah. Well, actually, Gaga was a game we used to play. It's like a poor man cricket.
In Israel?
In Israel, yeah. And I just like the phonetic look of it and the sound, the baby sound of it. And at some point, I was tired of calling my movement language, and I needed to give it a name, and I did.
You describe it as a new way of gaining knowledge and self-awareness through your body. Gaga provides, I'm quoting, a framework for discovering and strengthening your body and adding flexibility, stamina, and agility while lightening the senses and imagination. That sounds more like an exercise regimen than a dance philosophy.
Well, I think it's maybe both. I have the privilege, actually, that I don't have to really articulate and verbalize what it is. What I'm verbalizing is the research itself. But when we come to the need to verbalize it, maybe we come to say things like what you just said. Mm. I don't think it was me who wrote this.
It's not like yoga.
It could be. I'm sure there's a lot of similarities. But, you know, it depends a lot about who's teaching yoga and what turns on the teacher when he does yoga. Because Gaga is not a style. It's not. I don't even call it a method. It's about listening to your body before you tell it what to do.
Was it an invention of necessity? Didn't you create it as a way to cope with an injury?
The injury was a very important station in the development of it, but the real need for me to develop it was a means of communication when I was kind of handicapped in terms of how I communicate to my dancers, and also a means to take care of their body and my body, and also really a means to go beyond my familiar limits and my dancers' familiar limits on a daily basis.
Weren't you concerned that you might never walk again? How did you discover this?
It wasn't that dramatic, but I had a serious back injury, and I was paralyzed partially for a period of time in my left leg. And Gaga is a lot about finding how to do more with less. As I say, it was an important station because it really taught me to listen to small gestures, to the flow of energy, to places of atrophy in my body, and to be able to create new engines in order to execute similar movement.
And as you said, it demands that you listen to your body before telling it what to do. Isn't dancing experiential, which means you don't think about how you'll move your body?
It's a lot about the scope of sensations. You know, the thinking connect to the listening in terms of how you listen to flow of energy, how you listen to gravity, to the weight, dynamics, texture, the sense of touch that connect you also to feeling the outside world. In Gaga, we are not allowed mirrors. There are no mirrors.
Dancers must go crazy.
Dancers love it. People actually, you know, I work a lot with other companies, like ballet companies, and they used to look at themselves in the mirror every day. But when I come and in my contract, I said, cover the mirrors, and so they cover. At the beginning, they feel like they're missing something, but eventually they connect to their senses, to the pleasure of dancing, and the freedom of multidimensional tasks that looking at the mirror prevent them from.
One of your dancers, Omri Drumlevich, is going to lead a class in the basics of Gaga at the Mark Marstan Center on February 1st. That's next Wednesday. Can anyone attend?
Well, we have two categories. We have Gaga people and Gaga dancers. We actually have ongoing classes of Gaga in New York already. We have a couple of teachers doing it. So the Gaga people and the Gaga dancers have a lot of elements that are similar. If you talk about, as I said before, places of atrophy, the explosive power, the connection of pleasure and effort. So a lot of it is connected. So I'm not sure what is... what is it, Gaga people, does it say? What does it say?
I don't know. I mean,
but it's an open class, so if you're a dancer and it's a Gaga dancers, then you're welcome. Mm.
But you want somebody who actually knows something already.
The difference has to do with the skills, you know, but not with the way we listen to the body.
Now, I mentioned that there's a film called Mr. Gaga, which is opening next Wednesday at the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Center at Lincoln Center and at Film Forum. How did you, Tomer Heyman, get involved with you, and how long has this film been in the works?
The film has been in the works for 8 years.
Wow.
I know Tomer for more than 20. I first met Tomer when he was a waiter in a restaurant I used to go to, and then when he started dating men in my company, and then when he did another documentary about, he became a friend and someone I'm familiar with. Over the years. So when he came to me with the idea of doing another movie, it was very easy in a way.
Even though it means having a film crew follow you around all the time.
Well, it was just one cameraman, a very lovely, lovely man that we liked, Itai, and it was the burden was more having Tomer around, not the cameraman.
Your story will surprise a lot of dancers. You began dancing in the Israeli army as part of an entertainment troupe, but you hadn't really studied dance.
And not in a formal way. I didn't study dance, but I was connected to my body and to music and the connection between effort, pleasure. I did gymnastic, folk dancing. My mother was a dance teacher. My father was an actor for a while. I've been exposed to a lot of performing arts and dance, and I've always connected the listening to my body to the pleasure that one can get from movement.
Haven't a number of your pieces been inspired by your experiences in the Israeli military? Mamutot, by a trip through the Golan Heights during the Yom Kippur War, where you saw all of these bloated dead bodies.
This was more the manipulation of the movie making of Tomer. Mamutot does connect to the sense of loss that can also connect to losing somebody. But it was not connected really, especially Mamutot was not connected to the war or my experience. My brother was a combat soldier, and he's 11 years younger than me, and I remember the anxiety, the nightmares that I had when he was in the army, and that affected me. But it's in a way, the reason I choreograph is not to portray a particular geographic event. It has a lot to do with the personal or universal things that had to do with the sense of loss or human conscience and universal ethics, but... If I want to portray my political views, I can just do it here with you. They can sneak into as a byproduct, but not the reason.
You then, your mother signed you up for dance classes with the Batsheva Dance Company after you completed your military service. This is pretty much the first time you studied dance. Now, you were 22 years old, which is kind of late to start. You'd been completely self-taught up until then?
My mother gave me a huge gift, genetic gift, which has to do with musicality and flexibility.
In fact, you've been described as having a kind of a genderless style, almost feminine, because of the flexibility.
I think flexibility and also had to do with softness and something to do with flow of energy that is almost the opposite of kind of the macho force that you can associate with male dancer. But for me, in any way, dance was never about gender.
You were invited by Martha Graham to join her company when you were in New York City, but you didn't stay long. 10 months?
Yeah, 10 months. It has to do more with, I think, personal issues than the company, but obviously something about what the company was offering me wasn't satisfying.
So you applied to Juilliard and the School of American Ballet, even though you didn't have any formal ballet training, and you got into both schools.
Yeah, I think my teachers were really somehow stimulated by the fact that someone very uneducated has a body that can do a lot.
Your classmates at the School of American Ballet included Rudolf Nureyev, Peter Martin, people like that?
They were guests in our class. When they were in town, there was a teacher, a very loved one, Stanley Williams, so people loved his class. Mm. So they used to come and take his class. And
then you started creating your own dance companies. Yeah. Are any of the dancers in your company today self-taught as you were?
I don't think of myself as self-taught. I think of myself as someone who was lucky to meet a lot of good teachers, different stages of my dance career. And even now when I develop my own language, I do it with my dancers. In a way, I look at them and they are my teachers. I'm with them and they can show me things I couldn't discover by myself and couldn't even imagine exist. So they help me a lot. And my dancers, I think, part of it, and I think they think of the research and reflect on dance and why we dance in a very similar way.
Your mother says in the film that you came to New York as a nobody, and yet you married one of the greatest stars of dance, Mari Cachavara, who was an Alvin Ailey principal. And although she was Alvin Ailey's, one of his personal favorites, she left him to join your company.
Yeah,
did you collaborate with her on any of your work?
Yeah, we collaborated on several works. But you know, when I think of a dancer, when they leave a company, they don't really leave the choreographer. She didn't leave Alvin Ailey. Alvin Ailey was dear to her and was a friend to her until he died. She left the company. And it's the same when dancers leaving my company. When they leave my company, they don't leave me.
You've had a controversial career in Israel. There was at one point you actually had to meet with the president over a controversy. What happened there?
Well, there's a work of mine that is dance to a music that is traditional Jewish Passover song that mentioned God. It's Echad Miyodea, it's called. And I choreographed something to this song, and we had a show in a jubilation in the 50 years anniversary of Israel, and some religious party saw the rehearsal. Immediately contact the connection in the government, and
they objected to
the roller coaster. They objected to the fact that because we take off our. It's a song that is a little bit like on the first day of Christmas, mm-hmm. Give to me. It has the same structure of accumulation, and so at some point, part of the repetition is taking an item of clothes off you. And when they saw that we're getting naked while the word God is being, it was very silly. And so they wanted us not to do it. And I didn't want to change. They wanted us to wear long underwear instead of short underwear, something really silly.
So but you were called into the president's office?
It became Bibi Netanyahu, mm-hmm. who was then the president, asked that I will change it and said my government is going to fall because the religious party in Israel's system has a leverage. They can really make or not make the government. The president asked that I will change the dance for the sake of the livelihood of the government. And I still said I refused.
It's interesting you mentioned the government would have fallen, because falling is a motif in your work. For instance, the film opens with you teaching Maya how to fall. In Pas de Pepsi, you fall out of a shopping cart. Mm-hmm. And in Achad Mi Yodea, the last dancer at the end falls with each wave. Falling, what attracts you to that?
I think the force of gravity is the most important force that we have to deal with in life and also to deal with in dance. So sometimes I obey to it, but most of the time, when you fall, you obey to gravity. But most of the time, we are not obeying. We are actually creating opposite forces. And actually, the creation of opposite forces in the right way is what interests me a lot more than falling.
You're in New York City to perform last work. Is it the last work that you intend to create?
No, I'm actually now working already on my next work. This was just a name. Uh-huh. It's a name.
Was it a threat? Because I know you were very upset about what happened in Israel.
I've been upset about what's happening in Israel for a long time. But last work, it's less about what's going on in Israel. Maybe it's what's more going on with me and what I do, but I mostly like it. It's more like a playful, it's more a game, and the last work is just a good name because it's very dramatic, but it tells nothing about the piece, and that's why I like it.
The film has some sad stories in it. I don't want to reveal everything, but you lost your wife, who was a great dancer. But there's also some incredible footage with your children, with your child, your daughter. Life goes on, and you're going to keep Batsheva going?
Batsheva will keep going, whether I'm going to have life after Batsheva, for sure. I'm not sure I'll have life after Gaga. But I think we have now a company that can go without me, because I think we develop a toolbox and a way of thinking about dance, and the company now is composed of incredible people that can actually really continue
from all over the world.
From many countries. The geographic and national connotation don't play any role in our decisions. Not content wise and not in terms of who we choose to work with.
We have some more information about Last Work on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate if listeners are interested. And I can't imagine that they wouldn't be, because this is one of the great dance companies of the world. As I mentioned, there's also this film called Mr. Gaga, which opens at the Film Forum on the 1st, also at Lincoln Center. And we have a link, there's a link to various Q&As at both Lincoln Center and Film Forum on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate. Also a trailer. So if people go to our show page, they can find all sorts of interesting information about you and how you approach dance. Do you see yourself as changing over the years? You seem to have softened a bit in the way you deal with your dancers. In the early days, you were kind of hard on them.
I was very hard, and I'm really sorry. But I had to
Seeing yourself in the film, did you feel a little embarrassed?
Seeing it was, yeah, I didn't forget it, because I actually remember where you come from is very important for changes. And I really learn to turn conflict into dialogue, especially with the people I work with.
Ohad Naharin, the artistic director of the Batsheva Dance Company. They'll be performing at the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Peter J. Sharp building beginning a week from today and continue until the 4th. And then there's this film called Mr. Gaga, which opens at the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Center at Lincoln Center and the Film Forum next Wednesday as well. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.